Very good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours, 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, November 30th, 2014. You're listening to Studio 7 Live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, the world tomorrow commemorates the 26th anniversary of World AIDS Day, a day meant to raise awareness on HIV and AIDS. Zimbabwe has remained steadfast in the fight, managing to bring infection rates over the years to around 13%. The ZANU-PF Congress starts at the Harare International Conference Center on Tuesday, with opinions divided on whether the event will be peaceful, following skirmishes and votes of no confidence for some of the provincial chairmen loyal to a faction allegedly led by Vice President Joyce Mujuru.
I expect it to be a very peaceful Congress, although there might be one or two might try to bring up skirmishes, but I expect it to be a very peaceful Congress because there is a lot of vetting that has been taking place.
The Zimbabwe Commercial Farmers Union says it is hopeful that the Grain Marketing Board will be able to pay farmers before year-end despite the economic crisis facing the country and the credit crunch. And as usual, we have the Youth Forum from Tatenda Gumbo. The world tomorrow commemorates the 26th anniversary of World AIDS Day, a day meant to raise awareness on HIV and AIDS. Zimbabwe has remained steadfast in the fight, managing to bring infection rates over the years to around 13%. In recognition of this achievement, countries of the African Union would this year gather in Victoria Falls under the theme Focus, Partner, Achieve, an AIDS-free generation, to press on the messages of prevention. Assisting the government in its efforts to encourage prevention of the disease are community organizations which have been raising awareness and providing treatment to the thousands in need. To get a sense of how the community organizations are coping with this task, Studio 7's Ndimiyake Mwakelele spoke with Farai Mahaso, who is the director of Batanai HIV-AIDS Services Organization in Mashingo, and Timothy Manyemba, director of the Mashingo Community-Based HIV and Vulnerable Children Organization.
We are now a step ahead in contributing to HIV prevention. You see, the model of Zimbabwe is sort of community-driven. We, as grassroots organization, we work with several donors and stakeholders. So, in as far as working with children, even their parents, it seems that we are now a step ahead in primary prevention of HIV infection.
Mr. Mahaso, would you say the same for your organization?
Yeah, for our organization, we are from the community. We try to create demand by giving people information, but we also try to enhance treatment if they are in hard-to-reach areas, where we try to form what we call community at-risk groups, where people can also go and get medication for each other, and then they can support each other and make sure that adherence is high. Then we also work on food security and livelihood, and also we work with young people when they need to get tested, promote male circumcision. We really emphasize on working between the Ministry of Health, the health services, and also in the community, and we try to follow government guidelines and strategic plans that are there so that we really contribute to the national and international fight against HIV.
This year's theme for the World AIDS Day is Focus, Partner, Achieve, an AIDS-free generation. And Mr. Manyemba, the government has been pushing the prevention message. Is this message resonating still?
It's more cost-effective to prevent than cure. As a nation, with limited resources, and according to my own opinion, in as far as we would want to achieve an HIV-free generation, it's quite empirical that we address the issue of prevention.
Are people practicing safe sex, abstinence, or whatever it takes to avoid becoming infected?
People people are now complying on consistent and correct use of condoms. People are now free to disclose their status, and even compliance with medication is quite at a high level. More so, they increase the collaboration and networking between communities and health service providers. So the issue of engaging and involving everyone in this prevention process is helping quite much.
Thank you. Mr. Mahaso, can you elaborate on the issue of stigma and why it's still such a problem and how it can be overcome?
I think the problem that we still have is the problem of moralizing the issues of sex and so forth. The other perception also I've noticed maybe within the working class, whereby they feel that maybe people who should be HIV are those who are poor and so forth. So as a country, I think we need also to involve even the religious leaders and also continue to give the information that HIV is now a condition that anyone can have. And also we are finding that maybe after the post-2015, where we are talking of the new millennium development goals, HIV will be also coming in as something that is equated with other diseases, which means that it is not something that we should fear. But also, going back to the question that you asked, Mr. Manyemba, on prevention, I think it's a good message that needs to be there. But we are also worried about the increase of STI cases that are in the country. I think we need to also to find an answer to why we still have STIs that are high, especially in Mashingo, and I think Harare also has recorded that.
Mr. Manyemba, considering that Zimbabwe has done so well in reducing the HIV prevalence, is now, I believe, around 13-14%. The issue of complacency, is that a reality to deal with in terms of maybe people feeling, well, there's treatment, so you don't need to be as careful?
I strongly agree with what you said, that now people think that there's treatment, so there's no need to fear. But it also goes back to limited level of activities. If you look at it, the majority of those who are infected by transmitted diseases are the young generation. The reason why is they are unemployed, and those with adequate resources, they do take advantage of the young generation. So, in as far as the issue of accumulation is concerned, in as far as the issue of availability of resources like treatment is concerned, it boils back to the issue of the economy. So, in a nutshell, it has to be a basket approach whereby we cascade information on HIV prevention as well as addressing the issue of livelihood, focusing on unleashing the potential of the young generation because they are the most affected by STIs if you look at the statistics in our province.
Farai Mahaso is the director of Batanai HIV AIDS Services Organization in Mashingo. You also heard from Timothy Manyemba, director of the Mashingo Community-Based HIV and Vulnerable Children Organization. Both spoke to Dimiake Mwakelele of Studio 7 from Mashingo. The ZANU-PF Congress starts at the Harare International Conference Center Tuesday, with opinions divided on whether the event will be peaceful or not, following the ousting of some provincial chairmen of the faction allegedly led by Vice President Joyce Mujuru. The other faction, allegedly led by Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa, looks set to dominate, with most of their chairmen attending the Congress. The event is expected to end on Sunday. Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri speaks to political analyst Maurice Ngwenya.
I expect it to be a very peaceful Congress, although there might be one or two might try to bring up skirmishes, but I expect it to be a very peaceful Congress because there is a lot of vetting that has been taking place in terms of accrediting those who will be able to attend the Congress. Therefore, I think the leaders or those who are tasked to vet or to accredit people will be very strict on ensuring that those who have other ulterior motives or negative motives towards the Congress will not be allowed to go to the Congress. Therefore, that's why I believe that it will be very peaceful.
Looking at what happened during the accreditation process, are you not going to expect someone who is disgruntled coming to try and disrupt the process?
Maybe someone, one or two, might attempt to do that, but I expect that the police will be very much alert to deal with such instances, whereby it will be strictly through accreditation in terms of entering the venue of the Congress. Therefore, I don't expect any disruptions from any other rowdy elements, and I really expect the police to be on high alert.
After the Congress, do you see ZANU-PF emerging stronger than before the Congress?
In fact, I have already seen ZANU-PF is even stronger before it goes to Congress. by weeding out those undesired elements within the party, like what is happening right now, suspending them. It is the best way to go, and ZANU-PF has really taken into consideration the views of people. If you look at the resolutions in 2013 at the conference, there were so much calls to address the issue of factionalism and to address the issue of corruption. Therefore, you can't expect any more than this, whereby the wishes of the people are addressed. That makes the party stronger.
And some are saying that the amendments to the party constitution are unconstitutional. What do you say about this?
The amendments will be very much constitutional as long as they will be done by the Central Committee, because the constitution of ZANU-PF has a provision that the Central Committee outside Congress can deal with issues to do with the constitution of the party. Therefore, they will be very much legal.
That was a political analyst and a ZANU-PF member, Maurice Ngwenya, speaking to Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri in Harare. The Commercial Farmers Union says it is hopeful that the Grain Marketing Board will be able to pay farmers before year-end, despite the economic crisis facing the country and the credit crunch. Government has promised to give the GMB a substantial amount of money to enable the company to pay farmers. Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri speaks to the Zimbabwe Commercial Farmers Union President Wanda Chabikwa on the issue.
It's another sad development. We were so happy when the price of 390 was announced and was being paid. As we started the marketing season, we were so happy. Farmers who delivered were being paid within 6 days, and all the light was there. We were so happy. But of late, there's been a challenge where deliveries of up from the last week of July up to now have not yet been paid. And here we have end season. We also have been engaging with the relevant authorities. We are told it's the scarcity of money, although we are promised sometime this week or early next week, farmers should be able to get their money so that they can go and reinvest that money and grow the maize crop and even the cotton crop. Farmers can still grow their own cotton as long as there is an assured market which is going to be buying at economic and viable prices.
The GMB used to assist farmers by selling inputs at their depots around the country. Is this practice continuing this season?
No, not this season. That system used to help a lot to enable farmers to acquire their inputs not too far from their farming areas. But that has since been covered by, we now have a network of agro-dealers all over. So inputs are not very far now from farmers. Our only fear is some agro-dealers might be tempted to overcharge. If they don't overcharge, the agro-dealers are now, the network is quite strong, it is there, it is just, we encourage them just to stick to the stipulated prices so that farmers can easily get their inputs close by at almost the same price than going 100 kilometers or so away to go and buy. So the effect of GMB not selling inputs is not there anymore, although some fellow companies are also leasing some GMB facilities to sell those commodities to farmers. The supply of inputs closer to farmers is no longer a problem this year.
What about the supply of inputs, fertilizer, seeds, and chemicals? Do you think they are adequate?
Yeah, we have been assured by our colleagues in the industry, our service providers, I mean the agrochemicals companies and the seed houses, they've assured us there's adequate seeds, adequate fertilizer, especially compound fertilizer that we need now.
That was the Zimbabwe Commercial Farmers Union President Wanda Chabikwa speaking to Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri in Harare. You're listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. We're broadcasting on the 909 medium wave and on the 4930, 12080 and 15775 shortwave frequencies. And now we go to the Youth Forum with Tsatsenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues today. I'm gladly joined by Emmanuel Ndlovu, who is the Advocacy and Programs Manager at the Bloayo Progressive Residents Association. Emmanuel, thank you so much for joining me on the Youth Forum.
Thank you, Jacinda.
Emmanuel, let's talk about what some of the young people that you are working with are dealing with in the city. What are some of their grievances that they say they are looking for to be fixed?
Jacinda, I would say the most preeminent issue right now that is at the core of the survival of the youth in Bulawayo is the issue of water. You know, with this drive by the Bulawayo City Council to implement the water prepaid metering system, this has actually aggravated the state of misery youth find themselves in. You know, most of them are unemployed. They've had their properties belonging to their households attached over spurious and estimated bills from the Bulawayo City Council.
Now, let's paint a picture. You know, of course, many people in Zimbabwe are dealing with the woes of water, but what does a young person day-to-day deal with when it comes to this issue as you're describing?
I think first and foremost, you know, a lot of them are out of employment because of the situation, the situation in Bulawayo where, you know, we've had a serious and sustained deindustrialization. For a lot of them have been commissioned into street and market vending. A lot of them out of school have not been able to finish school. And most of the families in Bulawayo right now are child-headed, are headed by these youth.
And of course, you're talking about the issue of unemployment, which for Zimbabwean youth is a very, very serious issue. What is your organization doing to help some of these young people that are finding themselves unable to acquire adequate employment?
What we have done, we have tried to work with those who are on informal trading. Now, what we have done is, you know, the policies that the Bulawayo City Council is deploying to regulate the informal sector are actually policies that are Smithsonian, that are Rhodesian. You know, they belong to Rhodesia, and they do not take account the current, the contemporary situation that youth have to face. You know, so as a result, we have tried to bring together the youth and to speak with one voice on the issue of regulation around the informal trading, you know, so that it becomes formalized and also it becomes decriminalized.
Would you say that the programming has been able to help these young people, especially like you're saying, those vendors who are having a hard time, you know, even trying to make ends meet but are being barred due to what might be some laws that prevent them to be vendors?
Yeah, we have tried. There's been some successes here and there, but still the harassment hasn't stopped. The situation, you know, has not yet accepted that the youth of today has to survive.
And moving forward, what will you be doing if other programming to assist young people?
Our analysis, you know, is that dissatisfied people search for a new future. You know, it is only people who are content with the status quo who do not want things to change. But what we have noted is, you know, people change based on the level of clarity about the new future. And that is the message that we have been trying to bring to the youth. You know, that this future belongs actually to them and is up to them.
Emmanuel, great point. I do want to thank you for joining me today on the Youth Forum. It was great getting to chat with you.
Thank you, Tatiana.
That was Emmanuel Ndlovu, Advocacy and Program Manager at Bulawayo Progressive Residents Association. Make sure you join me next weekend. This is Tatenda Gumbo, and have a great rest of your Sunday.
This is Studio 7 for Zimbabwe, coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington. On today's top stories, the world tomorrow commemorates the 26th anniversary of World AIDS Day, a day meant to raise awareness on HIV and AIDS. Zimbabwe has remained steadfast in the fight, managing to bring infection rates over the years to around 13%. The ZANU-PF Congress starts at the Harare International Conference Center Tuesday, with opinions divided on whether the event will be peaceful.
That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, November 30th, 2014. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.